Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says to everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, and ever-cape-wearing producer, Count Panic himself. The heartthrob.
Yes.
The heartthrob. Yes. Sorry, I know of all you ladies and gents out there and these and thems that have the Count Panic posters up in their bedrooms.
Everybody does.
Everybody's at the heartthrob, right, Bob After
next
Dark.
Next to the Farrah Fawcett posters, there's the Count Panic poster.
I don't know, man. I prefer the Count Panic poster.
Well, yeah, myself, you know what? I'm no Farrah Fawcett. But yeah, put the poster up. Bob, back here, back in the...
It feels good to be back,
back in
the
studio.
You've
been zooming the past couple of times.
I'm zooming and just... It's been a weird year. It's been a weird 3 years. I feel like my life has been in this weird, like, weird spiral since my father passed. And I feel like I'm just trying to catch my footing, and I feel like I never can.
Yeah.
But you know what? We look forward to the future, and we keep pushing on and try to do our best.
Yeah, that's all we can do, Bob. The train keeps chugging along on the Bob After Dark train. The bad train.
Choo-choo.
Yeah. And if you're watching on Jed TV Live here, you could see...
I have a new set.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have a reclining chair, so this is how you're getting the show done for the rest of the night,
Don't
everybody.
Don't fall out the window there.
Hey, I'm going to fall backwards out the window. I sense that. They also gave me a couch.
There's a couch.
But I can't be on the couch.
I can do it on the couch.
Yeah. But that's we briefly talked about me laying on the couch.
Yeah, let me pan for the Jet TV crowd. There's a couch here.
There is a couch.
So that means we could have like audience members, I guess. We should like do a raffle.
You want to come sit on this couch? Do you want to come sit in the Bob After Dark couch, everybody?
Yeah. Let me pan, slow pan back to you there.
Slow pan back.
I got to get the logo. So that's the tricky part with this new set. You got to get the logo in there.
Right.
So I'm trying to do both at the same time.
Also, folks, pardon me. All of my notes are electronic, and I don't have a laptop this week.
No.
So I'm reading them off my phone, so bear with me. This episode might sound a little choppy, and I apologize about that ahead of time.
But the phone still gets it done.
Brand new as of today. So the phone gets it done. I just don't have the studio laptop with me. Hopefully have that back next week.
But the number is the same here, 219-845-1100, if you want to chime in live to the program here tonight. But welcome back, Bob.
Absolutely. If this is your first time ever watching or listening to Bob After Dark, we are your weekly-ish show where we talk about legends, lore, and the supernatural, things that go bump in the night, lights in the sky, weird cryptid stories, and of course, Count Panic's favorite Chapel Roan song.
You know what? I'm ashamed to say, Bob. I don't know. I know the artist.
I have been.
But I don't know. I'm not hip on the songs.
Listen, I have.
Am I missing out?
I have discovered. I am not into. My music taste is very strange. Anybody who knows me knows that. I listen to. One minute I'll be listening to like old school punk, and then the next minute I'll be listening to elevator music. So my music taste is pretty
elevator
out
there. Punk music.
Elevator punk. I don't think that's a genre.
Corner market with this.
But my word, let me tell you, that's something we should be thinking about. No, but I don't listen to like the modern pop stuff very much. Very rarely.
Lady Gaga.
Like me some Lady Gaga.
Justin Timberlake's. They're not even modern anymore.
Not so much. Well, Lady Gaga has a new single out.
She was around when we were in high school.
A new single.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm saying in the grand scheme of things, is she really modern?
No. I mean, but still, I do dig me. The current pop scene, I'm not really into, but there's certain things I will listen to, and I happen to be a fan of the Chapel Roan now. I never really listened to the artist before, and I heard that Pink Pony Club once, and let me tell you, I've been hooked ever since.
So what should I, what song should
Pink Pony Club.
That's the name of the song?
That is the name of the song.
All right.
So Pink Pony Club.
Bob's song of the week.
I'm going to keep on dancing at the... Yeah, you get the idea.
Yeah. I'm ashamed.
I'm ashamed for you.
Will she come on the show? Does she have ghost stories?
Does she have ghost stories? I don't know. We do have a guest coming next week, though, folks. He's going to be a Zoom in. He's from the South, and he is a major Bigfoot expert. So,
whoa.
Yes. Big time Bigfoot expert. So we're really excited about that. But if this is your first time watching or listening to Bob After Dark, other than what you're getting into, we split the show into two parts. The first part is the weird spooky news of the week. That's for you, the fans. And me, the Bob, go scouring the internet for the weird and unusual. Any kind of news that relates to paranormal or creepiness, general high strangeness, weirdness, or advances in science that borderline on science fiction. And I have four stories for us this week.
Four.
Because one's breaking news, but we'll get to the breaking news last.
Okay.
And the only reason I'm doing that is just because I have to read my notes in order.
Okay.
Or it won't work because I'm on my phone.
So it'll still be breaking.
It'll be breaking when it happens.
Okay.
All right. So you ready for our first news story. So our first news story comes to us from Oddity Central, and written always by the person who curates that site, just goes by Spooky. Someone keeps leaving plates of banana peels on a street corner and nobody knows why.
I guess that's paranormal.
It's high strangeness.
It could be.
It's high strangeness.
It could be ghosts.
It could be a lot of things.
Yeah.
A strange news story, okay?
So let me hear it.
All right. For more than a year, at the start of every month, the people in Beeston, a town in the UK, have been finding a plate of peeled bananas in exactly the same place. Between the first and second day of each month, the plate stacked with 16 to 20 peeled bananas always shows up on the corner of Abbey Road and Wenster Avenue in Beeston, and the residents have no idea who's behind the strange custom or its meaning. All everyone could say is that the banks have been appearing in the same spot for more than a year, and despite several signs asking whoever put them there to stop, it doesn't look like the mysterious fruit is going away anytime soon. Some have speculated that the plate is honey-drizzled bananas have some sort of religious meaning, while others believe it's just someone feeding the local wildlife. Although no animal ever touches them, so far no one has come up with a real answer to this mystery. Hashtag panic state.
Yeah, Bob. You said it's on Abbey Road?
It's on the corner of Abbey and Beeston.
Could be the ghost of Ringo's still alive. It could be the ghost of George Harrison
or John Lennon.
Leaving plates of banana peels out there.
Now count panic. I can't believe you. You're judging me for the story I picked out
this week. I'm not judging you. It's very
you're judging me.
Well, I'm sure the orangutans and the primates of the Abbey Road are happy because, well, it's only the peels, right? Not the full banana.
It's just the peels. You know, I have two theories.
Mario Kart, right?
I was just about to say I have two theories.
Okay.
My first theory is that someone's going to be using that neck of the woods for a Mario Kart track.
Yeah.
And so they're getting the banana peels ready to toss out there. Second thing, the more realistic answer, I'm curious if it's some sort of like compost thing.
Yeah, could be.
And I have a feeling that might be what it is, because you're supposed to put banana peels in with compost, aren't you?
Yeah.
I'm curious if it's a compost thing.
You know what though, Bob? I'm thinking about this now.
Okay.
Never in my life have I slipped on a banana peel.
I mean, I don't see that being a problem most people have.
Well, I mean, it's supposed to be a big problem out there.
It's like quicksand.
Yeah.
Quicksand as a kid, you're told that quicksand is like the scariest thing of all time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's terrifying. Well, it is terrifying if you're in it.
Yeah, but I've never seen quicksand in my life.
I don't know if we have that around here. There was that story a long time ago. It was kind of a crazy story. The kid survived, but it was Mount Baldy there in Indiana where the sand.
I remember that story.
You know, they had to dig the kid out, but that's the closest thing, I think, to quicksand that we had around here.
I would agree with you there.
It is a spooky story.
All right. You ready to move on to our next story?
Yeah.
All right. This one comes to us from the Daily Press, written by Renee Ray de la Cruz. Renee Ray de la Cruz. Sorry, that took a little bit there. And this is state bill would make Bigfoot the new face of California. And they're using this, and their slogan is Time to squash the beef. A California lawmaker has introduced a bill that would make Bigfoot part of the state's emblem family, along with the golden poppy and the redwood tree. Assemblyman Chris Rogers, a Democrat out of Santa Rosa, is the creator of Assembly Bill 666, which, if passed, would designate Bigfoot as the official state cryptid, according to the state. Rogers' district covers Del Norte, Humboldt, Mendocino, Sonoma, and Trinity counties, a Northern California region known as the epicenter for Bigfoot lore, as some people say. Now, you might be wondering what a cryptid is, Count Panic. Now, if you don't know what a cryptid is,
by now,
I'd fire you. No, but they do have it in here, so I might as well explain what it is. Yeah. So what is a cryptid? The International Cryptid Museum said they don't know whether a cryptid is an unknown species of animal, a supposedly extinct animal, a misidentification, or anything more than a myth until evidence is gathered and accepted. Until that proof is found, the supposed animal carries the label cryptid, regardless of its potential outcome and regardless of various debates concerning its true identity, museum officials stated. When it is precisely identified, it is no longer a cryptid because it is no longer hidden. That's a good definition.
Yeah.
Some examples of the cryptids include the El Chupacabra, Loch Ness Monster, the New Jersey Devil, the Mothman, the Abominable Snowman, also known as the Yeti, which is one of your favorites.
The Yeti, yeah.
Yeah, the question of which mythical creature represents California is a hairy one, Rogers told the New York Post. But we feel like it's time to squash the beef. It's not the Tahoe Tessie or the El Chupacabra that generates buzz and interest from outdoor enthusiasts. It's Bigfoot. I pounded my desk like Jonah J. Jameson from Spider-Man. I need pictures of Bigfoot. So the latest sighting in the Bigfoot in the Golden State occurred in September 2024 in Humboldt County, according to Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, which claims to be the only scientific research organization exploring the Bigfoot Sasquatch mystery. The organization's database reported that a couple on a sunset walk through Founders Grove in Redwoods heard the forest get quiet before hearing chattering and a whoop sound. Spent a lot of time in the woods, and I've never felt that immediate dread, the commenter posted. Whatever it was huge. There have been many reported Bigfoot sightings in San Bernardino County, but one of the most popular was from the late Claudia Ackley, who died in 2023. A former Crestline resident and popular Bigfoot hunter, Ackley claimed to have encountered the creature while hiking near Lake Arrowhead in San Bernardino National Forest. Over the last decade, Ackley drew national attention during her pursuit to prove the beast's existence and while studying the mythical creature's history. In 1997, Ackley heard a growl outside her tent while camping at Yosemite National Park. When she looked outside, she saw a bipedal, hairy creature walking away, the press enterprise said. The encounter sent her on a quest to study the creatures, which included leaving recordings in forest in an attempt to teach them human speech. Ackley said her life-changing moment came in 2014 during a Bigfoot expedition in Washington, when she locked eyes with what appeared to be a small, 5-foot-tall creature in the trees. Ackley told the New York Post that in March 2017, she was with her two daughters, ages 14 and 11, and dog at Trailhead near Lake Arrowhead, when one of her children saw something that made her freeze in her tracks. When Ackley heard to see what was wrong, she claimed she witnessed an alpha male Sasquatch leering at them from behind a tree. Ackley described the creature as having huge head and ears and black almond-shaped eyes. He was like a Neanderthal man with lots of messy hair. She said the creature was perched about 30 feet up between two branches of tree. AB-666 is scheduled to be heard on March 17th by the Senate or Assembly Rules Committee and later assigned to a policy committee. Hashtag yeah. Panic Steak.
How about that? State cryptids. I mean, this could be a thing all over America now. I mean, I know not every state, you know, there's state birds, state flowers. Did you know there's not every state has it, but a state sandwich?
What's Indiana's?
Pork tenderloin.
Oh, that's good to know.
You know, I know pork tenderloins around here, you kind of got to go to Valpo and Yonder to find your first decent. Not a lot of restaurants around here had the, in Lake County, had the pork tenderloin sandwich. But this is not about the state sandwich. It's about the state cryptid, Bob. You think it's going to pass? Can Bigfoot become the state cryptid?
Of California? I don't see why not. I mean, okay, let's say in a perfect world, each state gets their own cryptid. California has a couple, but their northern territory, this would argue probably more towards a Washington or Oregon would be more of my argument on where Sasquatch is actually at. But northern California, sure, I'll give it to them. I don't see why not, man. We would have one here in Indiana, the Beast of Busco, which happens to be what we're talking about later.
Oh, tie-in.
Tie-in. So
that would be our state cryptid.
That would be our state cryptid. That or the Mud Mermaids.
We'll find out more about that later.
Yes, you certainly. We're not talking about Mud Mermaids tonight, but we're talking about the Beast of Busco.
All right.
So, count.
Worthy. Yeah.
Do you think, would you vote for the Bigfoot to become the state cryptid?
Yeah, why not? Bigfoot deserves it. He's, you know, traveled long and winding paths of California, and why not finally get some recognition?
All right. Are you ready for our third story?
Yeah.
Comes to us from our old pal Tim Banal. Oh, yeah. Tim Banal over at Coast to Coast AM. Judge blasts fraud psychic at bail hearing. A psychic accused of participating in a swindling syndicate in Australia was blasted by a judge who called the self-proclaimed mystic a liar and a fraud. Justice Julia Lorengan reportedly issued the strong rebuke to Maria Williams at a bail hearing on Friday, this past Friday. The psychic was arrested last year for what authorities say was years-long operation wherein she, her sister, and her husband hoodwinked multiple people out of their money with promises of spiritual cleansing and curse removal. Williams' hopes of getting out of jail on bail were definitively dashed at Friday's hearing, as the judge worried that the mystic would attempt to escape justice if she were released. "She's a fraud and a liar," Justice Julia exclaimed in her decision to deny Williams' bail. "That's the problem, isn't it?" The judge went on to offer something of a backhanded compliment to the purported psychic, who was previously convicted of fraud, musing that the mystic is a, and I quote, "woman of substantial skill and ability in front of the art of lying and manipulation." Jeez. In light of these uncanny abilities, Lorgan expressed it a real concern that the applicant will direct some of her energy into avoiding being appearing in court next. Beyond the psychic's prior convictions, the judge's decision to deny Williams' bail may also have been informed by a bizarre development that occurred following the mystic's arrest. According to police, shortly after the clairvoyant was taken into custody, they received a call from a man claiming to be a private investigator who had been working the case of the criminal syndicate, billing herself the king of, I'm not going to use the term, but a very bad slur for G. That's all I'm going to say. Michael Stereo offered to join forces with the authorities to take the crooks down. However, it was later determined that the colorful character was Williams' uncle, who was hoping to interfere with the investigation at behest of his niece. Hashtag panic stake.
Yeah, see, Miss Cleo would never get wrapped up in anything like this. But
Miss Cleo got indicted by the federal government, didn't she?
I think there was a problem, Miss Cleo. But you know what? You never know really who to trust, right? You're always on the highways and byways of America, and you see these houses off to the side saying, "Hey, psychic readings," but you don't know what's legit and what's not legit, Bob. So
I always tell people to take those with a grain of salt. Mm. Do not take your last pennies to a psychic thinking you're going to find the answers. Mm. Take your last pennies and go get yourself something to eat, please. Don't do that. Psychics are if you find the right one, can be very insightful, but they're not going to give you answers to questions how to solve your money problems. Yeah. And that's where I kind of draw the line. People know me, and I'm not one to call somebody a fraud, because it's not, I mean, I will if I have to, but and I will say that if I catch somebody taking advantage of somebody based on like a financial situation, right, or just a bad situation in general, like, for example, give me $150, your last $150 so I can communicate with your dead dad. Like, that's manipulating, you know? Yeah. Like, don't
do that.
What
about these people that pay, you know, they travel around, they go to show, like, theaters and whatnot, and then people buy tickets
That's on them, man.
I think that's legitimate.
People are more than welcome. Legitimate is a whole other argument, right? I've had, for example, cards. I've had my cards read by a few individuals in my life. I don't just trust that with anybody, but I've had my cards read in the past. I've had bones thrown in my past, et cetera, et cetera. It just takes the right practitioner to just, you know, you kind of vibe with and you're okay doing it and you have the expendable income to do it. Again, guys, don't fall into these traps where you're giving psychics your last couple of dollars. It's not okay. Yeah. But if you have the extra income and you would like to get borderline one part entertained, one part, you know, you're looking for answers and that's where you're going, that's fine. Nobody's going to charge you thousands upon thousands of dollars for a cleansing. That's ridiculous. Don't fall for it.
Yeah. And
unless you're going to like a specialty, like something, you know what I'm saying?
How about the crystal ball? You know, people with the crystal balls. No,
I own a crystal ball.
Well, I'll get rings from you, I guess.
Oh, yeah. Call me now. Call me now.
219-845-1100. Yes.
Call me now. 219-845-1100.
We'll give you a free psychic reading.
I will give you a something.
Okay.
All right. Now, are you ready for the breaking news?
Breaking news.
Okay. So I have good news for some and bad news for others.
Okay.
So I have an article here from NASA.
Okay.
Latest calculations conclude that asteroid 2024 YR4 now poses no threat to significant significant threat to Earth.
They were predicting that this comet was
going to hit the Earth. It no longer is going to hit Earth. So
that's the good news.
That's good news to some people. There were some people that were banking on this comet.
I was a comet.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
No, now it's now. Unfortunately, it won't be hitting us. Or fortunately, it just depends. Are you a half full or a half empty person, yeah. Right? So NASA significantly lowered the risk of a near-Earth asteroid 2024 YR4 as an impact threat to Earth for the foreseeable future. When first discovered, asteroid 2024 YR4 had a very small but noticeable chance to impacting our planet in 2032 as observations of the asteroid asteroid not a comet, by the way. Asteroid continued to be submitted by the Minor Planet Center. Experts at NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, Center for Near-Earth Object Studies, we're able to calculate a more precise model of the asteroid's trajectory and now has updated its impact probability on December 22nd, 2032 to 0.004% chance and found there is no significant potential for this asteroid to impact our planet for the next century. So we'll be long gone. Not you.
No, I live on.
You live on, but I won't be here.
Yeah.
So sorry, guys. Next century, not my problem.
Yeah.
The latest observations have further reduced the uncertainty of its future trajectory, and the range of possible locations of the asteroid could be on December 22nd, 2032, and move farther away from Earth. There still remains a small chance for 2024 YR4 to impact the moon, but that probability is only at 1.7%.
Okay.
NASA will continue to observe the asteroid with their Planetary Defense Coordinates Office, and the James Webb Space Telescope will observe the asteroid in March to further gain insights and its size for the scientific purposes. While this asteroid holds no real significance hazard for us in this particular asteroid, provided an invaluable opportunity for experts at NASA and its partner institutions to test planetary defense science and notification processes. The latest data on all near-Earth asteroids could pose an impact hazard to Earth will continue to be available from NASA. Hashtag panic sticker. Are you happy the comet ain't going to hit? Were you one of our asteroids, I should say?
Always anti-asteroid, I guess you could say. But, this happens from time to time where they're saying it's going to hit us. Now, just because it says it's going to hit Earth doesn't mean it's going to take out, like those movies where the asteroid takes out the entire planet. Sometimes they kind of fizzle out. They hit maybe, they go into the lake or something like that. I don't know. But, Bob, I'm going to say this is, for most of the people, good news. I mean, next century, that's their problem. Not our problem.
Well, it'll be your problem. You're kind of timeless.
I'll have to stop that asteroid. I'll have to fly up there.
Cal Panic does this flying punch. The Superman.
Superman
the Superman.
Stop the asteroid,
yeah, Superman
yeah.
could stop the asteroid. Do you have Superman powers, though, Count?
I do.
Do you?
I got laser vision.
Ah. All right.
Don't make me use it.
All right, Count. How about a quick break?
Sure.
All right. For our live fans, stick around. We'll be right back. Into our podcast fans, you're about to be hearing words from a podcast that you should be listening to. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Ghostly.
Pat, what are you doing?
What? I want people to know that we're a podcast that takes a deep dive into some of the scariest ghost stories.
But we don't do the creepy voices or weird sound effects. We debate the ghost stories. And aren't you supposed to be the skeptic?
I am, but they'll find that out once they listen.
Look, all you have to do is tell them to listen to Ghostly, and that our listeners get to decide which stories are real.
And which stories are just old folklore.
Exactly.
Download Ghostly wherever you find great podcasts.
Oh, jeez.
And we're back. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey, Bob.
What'd you do during break?
I stopped the asteroid.
You stopped the asteroid completely for the next 100 years?
I went into the next century. I stopped it. So breaking news. Next century's asteroid.
Wait a second. You could time travel?
I could time travel.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
It's not like a vampire power, is it?
I have extra powers.
You have extra powers.
So I stopped the meteor or asteroid, comet. They're all pretty much the same, aren't they?
No.
Get Laura Bates on the phone. Let's see what the
difference is. A big difference between asteroids and comets. I just don't know them. But yeah. I do. I think one's made out of metal. Right? And the other's made out of rock. Is that it?
I must have dozed off during science class.
Man, my astronomy professor in college would be awfully grumpy with me.
That was a tough subject.
I passed. I got an A.
You got an A.
I did.
So you should know.
Comets are smaller, tinier things. Mm-hmm. I want to say they're made out of, like, iron. Mm-hmm. I think that's the trick here. All right, Count. So earlier, we were talking...
What did you do during the break?
Oh, gosh, you didn't even ask me.
I just asked you now.
Okay, would you like to ask me again?
What did you do during the break, Bob?
You know, Count, I worked on the next great American novel.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I was working, I was writing, I was slinging those words, and I was ready to go, and then lo and behold, you know, something ate my novel.
It happens. What was the title of it?
A Tale of Two Panics.
Wow, okay. It was the worst of panics? It was the best of panics?
It was the worst of The fact that you were able to quote Shakespeare at me blows my mind.
I only know the first line of it.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Is to be nobler, to die, or to sleep?
See?
That's about as far as I can get. I don't even think I quoted it correctly. There's going to be the one literary comment on YouTube that's going to, and I know this because I know the fans. Well, actually, Bob. It's, you know, and then they'll quote the actual thing at me, which is fine. I don't claim to be an English expert. I don't claim to be a Shakespearean. No.
I just play one on TV.
All right, Count. Thank you for
it. Your Corpus Christi. Magnum Opus.
The Corpus Christi. I forgot where we started that at. That sounds like something we were talking about in college.
Yeah, that was when we helped Alex out with the movies.
Yes.
By the way, congratulations.
Congratulations to our pal Alex and his wife Alyssa are expecting their first baby.
Just found out
today.
How about that?
We do baby announcements, guys. Reach out to Bob After Dark. We'll announce your baby. We'll announce your marriage. We'll announce your divorce.
We should have them do the gender reveal here.
You know, we should do the gender reveal.
Live on the air.
What would the Bob After Dark gender reveal party be?
I don't know. Just you announcing it, I guess.
It's just, hey, guys, guess what? You're having a boy. Or, hey, guess what, guys? You're having twins.
How about that, Bob?
Here's the thing, guys. You know, I'm not on Cameo. I should be, but I'm not on Cameo. So instead, reach out to me for $5. I will record the message of your choice.
See?
within reason.
Yeah, divorces, though.
I'll announce your divorce. Mr. and Mrs. Smith are no more. Mrs. Smith is now going to be known as Mrs. Jones or Miss Jones.
Oh, see.
Yes, the once Mrs. Smith will now be just known as Miss Jones. So, happy divorce, everybody.
Let us know.
What if that was a job? I know there's a guy online who breaks bad news, but what? You know, I'll just announce everything in the same energy. Hey, happy bar mitzvah. Hey, happy divorce.
Like a singing telegram or something.
Oh, jeez. If I had a better singing voice, Calvin.
Yeah,
baby.
Better singing voice.
Do we have a caller?
Yeah, you want to take it live?
We'll take it live. Now, hold on. Speaking of psychic powers, let me see if I can guess who's on the line. I'm going to say it's John.
Oh, you're really scaring me, Bob. You really got them psychic powers in the gear tonight. How did you know that?
Oh, John, let's just say that I have a gift of knowing who my one caller is a week. My one of two caller, my normal callers, at least. I sometimes get more, but usually my one to two.
Well, I'm glad I'm normal anyway. But you know what? You just gave me an idea because... Hey, Colin, do they still got that Hey Jed app?
Oh, geez. You know,
maybe maybe we could get a Hey Bob app.
Hey Bob, just tell Bob whatever you want to
hey
tell.
Hey Bob, just tell Bob. And, you know, I mean, if you want to venture off a little more in the genders and stuff like that, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
You just kicked it around a little bit. And,
so anyway, I'm sure everybody will use it, John.
Well, oh, yeah, yeah. They'd be, oh, you never know. You know, I mean, it's something to try. But so what were you saying at the beginning about California and maybe being the cryptid of
Bigfoot. Bigfoot's going to be the national, is going to be the state cryptid. So some states have birds. Well, all states have a state bird. All states have a state flower. California will be the first state, if this thing passes, will be the first state to have a national cryptid.
Well, you know what? It's a fact that Oregon is, Bigfoot is Oregon's. Oregon's cryptid.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before. Washington or Oregon is usually where most of the sightings is. But this particular lawman in Northern California says Northern California is the home to the Bigfoot.
Well, I think more other states could adopt the same cryptid, too.
But what I'm saying is, if you Google Oregon is... is the official cryptid, Bigfoot cryptid, or however you want to
they passed
word
the, oh, did they actually pass the law for that, John?
Yeah.
No
yeah,
kidding.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So California and Oregon are going to share.
Yeah, if you Google it, it'll tell you the whole story. Well, so it's already official that they are the state's cryptid of Bigfoot. Or
so California should pass that easily, then.
Well, but now it's not even as fun.
No, but other states have the same, like, flowers and stuff.
Yeah, but
Bob, come on, you know, California, as wacky as California is, I mean, it's like another planet instead of a state. I mean, it's, you know, would that surprise you if Bigfoot was their cryptid?
Well, I
mean,
I'm John, wait till I tell you about Indiana's coming up. You're going to be real surprised.
Well, you know what? I'm going to listen to that because I was going to ask you what you would think of what creature would be or animal, whatever. Fictitious, whatever would be Indiana's.
So we have two. One is one that literally would take me three sentences to tell you the story, and that's the Mud Mermaids or the Beast of Bosco, which we're going to talk about here in just a moment.
Okay, you know what? That sounds interesting. I'm going to continue listening as always, and I'll be interested to hear what you got to say about that. And nice to hear you again, Bob.
Oh, thanks, John. We appreciate it.
You know what? A week, man, a week just seems like it's 2 days now, you know.
And you aren't kidding.
It seems like I just called you. I'm calling you again. But, hey, I love it. So keep it up. Well, I'll be listening.
Thanks, John. We appreciate you.
See you, Bob.
See you, John.
There you go. And he mentions how fast time goes. Just last week, Bob, we were negative 30 degrees. Now we had a nice spring day.
We had
outside.
Almost 60 degrees
That's
today.
That's a week's difference. So, yeah.
So count.
Yeah.
You're an Indiana resident. You've been an Indiana resident
proud
your entire
Indiana
life,
resident.
I'm assuming.
Yeah, proud Indiana resident.
So, are you familiar with the entire state of Indiana outside of to the region? Like, do you know your lore?
My lore?
Your lore of Indiana?
I'm probably not hip with all the lore of Indiana.
Okay. If I was to say Count Panic, what would you say that our cryptid is? And you can't say Mr. Pierogi, even though I would Mr. Pierogi is a werepierogi.
It's a giant life-size dumpling, Bob. That's got to be up there.
What if I told you that Indiana's cryptid is a giant turtle?
I don't know much about this, no.
The Beast of Busco, they call it, Count Panic, the Beast of Busco. The Beast of Busco is the subject of a legend in Churubusco, Indiana, about an enormous snapping turtle which citizens claim to have seen in 1949. Hmm. Despite a month-long hunt that briefly gained national attention, the Beast of Busco was never found. Hmm. The Beast of Busco, or affectionately known as Oscar from the first Discoverer, resides in Churubusco, Indiana, where it's supposedly a giant snapping turtle. Legend has it that the story started in 1898, when a farmer named Oscar Folk supposedly saw a giant turtle living in a seven-acre lake on his farm near Churubusco. He told others about it, but eventually he decided to leave it alone. A half a century later, in July 1948, two citizens of the town, Oro Blue and Charlie Wilson, also reported seeing a huge alligator snapping turtle weighing at approximately 500 pounds while fishing on the same lake, which has now come to be known as Folk Lake. A farmer named Gail Harris owned the land that at the time. Harris and others also reported seeing the creature. Word spread and many expeditions were held to try to find the big beast of the lake, including draining and motorboating the lake. Not much else is known about the Beast of Busco. Some say it was just hibernating and waiting for food to come out, and some say the beast never existed at all and was just a way of Oscar, just a way for Oscar to be making his sleepy town feel alive. And little did you know that the Beast of Busco has its own festival in Indiana, Count Panic.
Really?
Oscar is honored in the Turtle Day Festival each June. It includes a parade, carnival with turtle races. A turtle shell named the Beast of Busco hangs in the Two Brothers restaurant in Decatur, Indiana. And a small concrete statue of the turtle sits in the sidewalk at the main intersection of the center of Churubusco. So, that is just a couple little things about our giant turtle that supposedly lives here in Indiana, Count Panic. I bet you didn't know that.
I didn't know that. So, essentially, it's a snapping turtle, but a very large, very gigantic snapping turtle. But snapping turtles alone, terrifying, because, right, it could just take out your entire leg there, but this is a giant one. So you're saying this is around 1949?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, I have an interesting article here, and I'm going to read it word for word for you guys. This is actually from the Fort Wayne news station. So news station, CBS affiliate 15. Okay. This is local-ish to Churubusco. It's not obviously the same town, but that's what would cover that. They have a whole story written here, and it's really interesting from the perspective of a journalist. I'm going to repeat some of the same things, but this is coming from actual locals, too. So I thought it was, you know, necessary to read. The history of how the town of Churubusco got its nickname started as a turtle tall tale, or to believers, the tale of a tall turtle. Try saying that five times.
I can't.
Before drones, the internet, and social media, there was a turtle whose home was located just east of Churubusco, the town located northwest of Fort Wayne and is home to near 2,000 residents. Built in 1948, it was also home to a mythical creature that would go down in history as Indiana's Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster. It must have been a slow year for news because it went viral, and that was before the word viral was even used, said Chuck Jones. It was all over the country. In 1948, the Beast of Busco was spotted in Folk Lake. Two men were fishing and claimed to have seen a giant snapping turtle that is now named Oscar. Then a while later, two men fixing a roof also saw the beast. Oscar was said to be longer and bigger than an average rowboat, which is about 10 feet, had the size of a child, and weighed anywhere from 400 to 500 pounds. His name stemmed from the original owner of the lake, Oscar Folk, who believes he first saw the turtle in 1898. You okay over there?
Yeah.
I was just making sure. Later in 1948, the owner of the property, farmer Gail Harris, saw the turtle and set out to capture the beast. The word of Oscar quickly spread to neighboring towns and soon made national news. Jones was only 10 at the time. This is a resident of the area. Jones was just 10 at the time, but he remembers crowds and fans swarming the Folk Lake just to get a glimpse of the tortoise. Cars caused traffic jams. Planes flew overhead, and drivers went down the deepest and darkest parts of the lake, and yet the beast was never found. They had traps and hooks, and they tried everything to find this turtle, and they actually did find it, Jones said. It broke out of its net, and then got a gaff hook, and while they had it, it started to tip the boat. So we know it was a large turtle. So they're from a local saying that they actually found this thing.
They did.
Where others have said that they didn't. So that's where I found this fascinating at. As the local says that this thing was so massive that it started to tip the boat over when they tried capturing it, so they just let it go.
And it didn't try to, I would assume it would start snapping too, right?
They say the jaws could have opened up and engulfed the boat in one bite, yeah. Like width-wise. Yeah. Crazy, huh?
That's crazy to think about.
Are you still there?
You know what, though?
Yeah, sorry.
I looked it up just now. We're only about a couple hours away from that. I mean, it's not that far.
No, do you want to go to the Busco to go see the beast?
Tonight?
Hell, you want to go tonight? Cut the broadcast now, everybody. We're going to Busco, Indiana.
We found it tonight.
Hey, we'll find it all, right? Only 100 years later, just about. Well, we'll find it.
Yeah.
The property owner even stated to drain the lake in hopes of seeing the beast. However, due to a mixture of money issues and limited sighting, the search for Oscar stopped, and to this day, Oscar has yet to make another appearance. More than a half a century later, Churubusco still calls itself Turtle Town, USA. It's hard to miss the 15-foot grinning green tortoise as you enter the city from US 33 and all of the turtles displayed around town. Each year, the town also salutes Oscar with Turtle Days, a four-day event including turtle races, judging of turtle sculptures, carnival of attractions, and that is a little different. It runs a little longer than Pierogi Fest, even, Count Panic.
I guess so, yeah, just a little bit.
Nam Oscar's home is up for sale. This was back in 2016.
Yeah.
Located between Madden and McFundy Roads, the nearly 44 acres property is on the market for $1 million. Along with Folk Lake, Whitetail realtor Justin Griffin says the property is a great hunting track and great fishing. It's a great property with just a few, with a great view, and it comes with a story, said the realtor. I think it's a perfect place just to call home. But whatever happened to Oscar? Depends on who you ask. While some say he left the lake, others say he still lives there waiting for visitors. It sort of just kind of faded into the sunset, Jones said. And if you know that makes a story really good, that's that way, because now we didn't catch him, you can really make the story sound even better. Oh, we have a caller.
We have a caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Philip, and I live in Crown Point.
Hi, Philip from Crown Point. What's on your mind?
A whole bunch of things.
Oh, sure.
I'm trying to nail it down right now, since I'm on the air.
Okay.
First time, sorry.
Oh, don't apologize. I hope you're enjoying the show.
I used to work at WLNR in Lansing.
Oh, okay.
6.3.
Oh, no kidding.
And FM Doyle.
Yes, sir. Philip, you have a great radio.
You have a great radio voice.
Thank you. So do you.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I was waiting for it to come back.
That's why you're on the radio.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We appreciate that.
Here. Is there a second person on the line?
Yeah, my producer, Cal Panic.
I'm here too, Philip.
Yeah, pleased to meet you.
Hey, pleased to meet you too. Have you ever met this turtle?
the Beast of Busco.
No.
Okay.
That's fair.
Not many people have it. Only
people back in 1948 claim to have seen it, so.
No. I was born in 1954.
Ah, well, so a little past that point.
Yeah. Boomer.
Don't hold that against you.
Won't hold that against you at all.
Well, I enjoyed the atomic bomb
while
I was growing up.
Well, that might explain the giant size of the turtle.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Yeah, Phil. Any questions or concerns there, Philip?
I like smart people.
Oh, okay. Well, we try.
We try.
Well, you sound smart.
Yeah, well.
Thank you very much.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, don't listen.
First impression.
Oh, well, that's a good first impression. Appreciate it, Philip.
Well, works for me.
Yeah, there we go. Absolutely. Yeah, well, it was a pleasure. Well, thanks for chiming in, too.
What's next?
Well, we're finishing up the story of the Beast of Bus.
Are we going to a commercial break?
No, I don't do commercial breaks. We're going to finish up the story.
We just plow straight through the episode.
They don't give me a commercial break, Philip. I'm not that special.
Is that a hard break? Uh-uh. Come on. You're not network?
Well, I guess we kind of are, but people don't buy into MySpace.
We're
going
to start on a union or something.
Well, I bought into it.
There you go, Philip.
So, there you go.
Well, thank you
so
much.
Nice chatting with you guys.
Nice chatting with you, Philip. You have a great night.
Take care.
Take care.
See you, Philip. How about that, Philip?
Fellow radio personality.
Yeah, great radio
voice. Great radio voice.
We got to work on our bass and our voice. I feel like.
Welcome to Bob After Dark.
We're getting there.
Welcome to Bob After Dark.
We'll get it right after 5 years.
After almost 7 years doing this.
Yeah, we'll get it. We'll narrow it down one day.
So, Count Panic, before we call the show, let us have a conversation real quick. What is your take on the size of the Beast of Busco, and do you believe that someone was close to catching it and then let it go when it was trying to tip over the boat?
It might be. Well, wait, before I get to my opinion, do you want to...
We'll take another caller.
Take another call. Right.
Caller, you're on the air.
Well, good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Count and Bob.
Bill.
Bill, how are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm glad to see you're relaxed in there, Bob. That's good.
Yeah, they gave me a reclining chair here, Bill. I don't know if that was a smart idea.
You could be on the couch.
I could be. Count keeps telling me I could have been laying on the couch for this. I don't think that's possible.
Episode on the couch.
Well, those recliners are nice. I have one I'm sitting in my now. You know, I'm in my living room and listening to your show and I'm enjoying it. I had a question on the Bigfoot as far as, you know, and I'm sure they're out there. Who knows? But have they ever found any remains of anything or what you know?
Over the years, people have found what they've considered to be skulls of the Bigfoot. They're one of the more popular stories of one maybe being found was actually in the middle of an Indian burial ground. Some native tribes believed in if this thing really existed. Some tribes believe that having the remains of one of these things would just ward off evil spirits because the Bigfoot is the guardian of the forest. At least that, depending on where you hear it from. So there's been remains said of that in the Himalayas. The Indian Army claims that they own an actual skeleton of a Yeti, which would be the Himalayas neighbor of our Bigfoot. Now, whether or not I believe that, I don't know. They've never showed us, but they say it's there. And then there's a podiatrist in Crown Point, Indiana, who has actually done research on Bigfoot footprints left behind, too, and real interesting stuff there. So as far as the physical remains to be seen, badoots. You like that one, Bill?
Well, yeah, because, you know, I watch these documentaries every so often, and I know these are actors and so forth, but then they always show the Bigfoot and the people that are not chasing him with so much, you know, run into him. I wondered, so... And Count, I do have a poster of you.
You do? Oh, hang on the wall?
I had a crack in the wall, I think. That's why I put it up. I think I got it at the post office. I'm not sure where I got that thing. I've got it. It's a treasure. I keep it.
Well, it's occupying the wall, so that's good.
Well, listen. I'll let you guys go, and I say I'm enjoying it. I thought there'd be a, a basketball game on, but there wasn't, so that's good.
IU or Purdue's not playing. Well, we're all, see, Bill, this is the misconception. We'll be on the JED TV side of things, but on the radio side of things, if IU and Purdue.
Well, Bill, you have an option. There. You can watch basketball or you can watch Bob After Dark.
Yeah, so we're on the
JED TV. Well, yeah, that's on my list, yes. You know.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks for inflating my ego.
Listen, you take good care. God bless you guys, and I'll talk to you next week.
See you then, Bill. Thank you so much.
All
very
right,
kind
bye.
Of you.
All right.
So, Count, let's have a quick conversation. Do we have another caller?
I think this might be, unless I didn't hang up the phone.
Bill, you still there?
Might have been just me not hanging up the phone properly. Okay. But call back if I did hang up on you,
219-455-1100. Do you believe that the turtle actually existed? When Oscar first seen it way back in the 1800s.
Yeah, sure. Who am I to prove that wrong? Yeah.
Okay, so you believe that the turtle existed?
Yes.
To begin with. What do you think the take was that all these people seen it then in 1948? Do you think that people actually saw it, or do you think it was just a tall tale?
You know what, Bob? I think it might have been, I'll tell my take, and I knew we have a phone caller there, but yeah, I don't know. See, that's the thing with it's that kind of spreads like wildfire sometimes. One person could see it, but then you got a lot of fibbers out there saying they saw it as well. So I believe it's out there, but I don't know if it was just, I bet there was some people fibbing about it too, Bob.
Sure. We have a caller.
We do.
Caller, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Doing good. Who are we hearing from?
This is Art.
Hey, Art! How's it going?
Good, good. What's this turtle you guys are talking about?
The Beast of Busco, the Indiana State Cryptid. The Busco, Indiana giant snapping turtle that we're now debating whether or not it actually existed at one point or another.
I don't know about that one, but I know back in my day, I used to go fishing at Todd Park in East Chicago. And there were some huge snapping turtles back there.
So they were saying this one
they might be related.
I mean, it could be. So this one they're saying was 500 pounds, and it was its jawline was big enough to snap a small rowboat in half at up to 12 feet long.
That could have been Todd Park, too. I don't know.
Todd Park, Kosciuszko Park, or not. I'm sorry, wrong park.
This turtle was like 15 feet wide if it wasn't a foot. But that's
no
just
kidding.
My estimate.
I mean, it's possible. There are weird things out there in the world, and maybe they're related.
Yeah, you don't want to get your finger near their jaws. They have very powerful jaws. They could snap off your finger.
Oh,
yeah.
I believe my dad always warned me the same thing. Snapping turtles are dangerous. But this one supposedly go on.
A lot of unexplored areas in the region, so who knows what lies where, you know?
Exactly.
Don't go down to Little Cal River. Or you never know what you're
going to You might get attacked by a crane or a heron.
Something like that. Or a snapping turtle.
I don't know. Maybe the Beast of Busco was from East Chicago all along. Made its way over.
Everybody has connections to East Chicago, so it's quite possible.
Art, we really appreciate you calling in, bud.
Have a good night.
Good night, sir. Thank you. Our pal Art from Club Cuyahoga.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Steve, I know we talked yesterday. I think nothing as of yet on the voice, but he's still looking, kind of delving into it as well, those voice recordings for the club. But as Art said there, Todd Park had some pretty
Now, have you ever been to this Todd Park?
Massive. I have been to Todd Park. I've never seen a massive snapping turtle like Art did. But, Bob, again, people see this stuff, and it wasn't maybe a 500-pound snapping turtle, but there could be some lineage there between the two turtles.
You're saying that this turtle was just a very big turtle, and you're saying that it was blown out of proportion.
Are you talking about the 500-pound turtle?
The Beast of Busco.
Yeah, well.
Do you think the Beast of Busco was as big as what they say it was, or do you think it was just,
a
giant turtle? And then they just kind of rounded it out, saying that thing had to have been about 500 pounds.
So like the fishermen out there, they always say, I caught a fish this big, but they kind of inflate the size of the fish to sound like they caught a massive fish. Maybe a case like that, but Bob, I don't know. These turtles could grow pretty big. I mean, it might have been a 500-pounder.
You might be wondering what Bob Anderson's opinion is.
What do you two people in a suit?
I believe it is two people in a rubber suit or a giant turtle suit. No. I think it was a very big turtle.
Yeah.
I think it might have been a very large turtle. I think it might have been a record-breaking turtle. Hmm. Do I believe it was 500 pounds?
Do you?
No.
No.
I think it was over. I think We have a case where Oscar, I truly believe, saw it. He saw something he couldn't explain. This giant, massive turtle, which, by the way, some depictions of this thing has a tree growing on its back. That's how big it is.
It's got its own environment.
It's got its own environment on top of the tree, right? So, Beast of Busco, do we, do I believe that it was as big as what they say they is? No. Do I believe that there was a turtle? Yes. Now, do I take the locals' belief totally and say that all the beast was this, that they caught it, but the thing was tipping over the boat and snapping at the boat and it was going to crash, so they let it go? Do I believe that? Yeah. Do I still believe it was as big as that? I don't know. It's hard to say because I don't like to disprove what locals believe that they said they saw or they said they heard. I mean,
what's stopping from being a 600-pound turtle? 700-pound.
Oh, now you're talking, Count Panic. But I'm just going to say for this cryptid, I'm going with plausible. Not going to say that it's a real thing. Maybe. I'm not going to say that I don't believe it because I believe that there's things out there that we can't explain. Yeah. Even out, this is one of those times when we look at a cryptid that doesn't have any metaphysical powers to it or have any kind of mysticism to it. This is just a giant turtle that's never been recorded before.
Let me ask you this, though. In 1949, turtles have long lives. They live longer than humans, could live hundreds of years, Bob. This turtle could very well maybe still out there.
Could be. People said that they tried to look for it since. And I mean, these days, people are still trying to look for it. I think that it's gone. I think that if it was smart, it left. And yeah, if it's still out there, or maybe an offspring, maybe an offspring crawled its way here. Remember, guys, where we record this in the studio, we're on the south end of the city of Chicago in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah. Is it out there?
Is it out, did it wander from here to there? And then that, what Art saw, the giant turtles over in Todd Park, you said it's called?
Todd Park.
Is it possible that what he saw could be related to it?
Should we go to Todd Park? It's a little closer.
But, folks, that's the story.
So we'll leave it up to the public.
We'll leave it up to you guys. What do you think? Do you think that the Beast of Busco is 500 pounds?
Call Bob up and let
call me now. Well, folks, that is the story of the Beast of Busco, Indiana State Cryptid. We have another caller.
No, I was getting a computer. But officially, we got to make it the state cryptid, right? It's not.
We don't have one yet, but Indiana should have a state cryptid.
This is very well could be our.
This is ours. I mean, there's no.
We're claiming it.
We're claiming it. I mean, as far as ghost stories, we have a lot of those in Indiana. As far as cryptid stories, we don't have a lot.
Not a lot.
So the Beast of Busco is as close as we're going
to
get.
I mean, we did have, we went out there to.
We never did find that guy. What was his name?
In Hessville.
Hessville. What was the guy's name that was with us? Tony Ponick?
Tony
Ponick. I don't know what happened to that.
But you know
what?
We went to in Hessville by the Gibson Woods.
Yes, we did.
Because in 1978, some locals claimed they saw Bigfoot in Gibson Woods. Now, listen, there's a lot of bars over there, so it could have been very well but just a rowdy night that they thought they saw a Bigfoot, or it could have been actually Bigfoot wandering around Gibson Woods back in the 70s in Hessville, Hammond, Indiana. We don't know for sure.
We don't know.
No. Might be out there.
Truth is out there. I want to believe in the Beast of Busco.
And it believes in you, too. They should, we should get a endorsement. I mean, we should kind of, we should start. We should start really getting behind this turtle.
I might go make a trip out to the Turtle Fest at some point.
2 hours?
That's not far. Yeah, I drive that normal.
Yeah.
But anyway, Count.
When is that?
What? It changes dates. It's in June, though.
June?
Yeah, maybe next year.
Mark it on your calendar.
I will. All right, Count. So that was the story of the Beast of Busco. Yeah. Do you have any closing words for our audience this evening?
Everybody, the weather is getting warmer, right? Go out and enjoy it. Although this is full spring, Bob. It's a spring of deception.
Lousy smarch weather.
It's not, the old March thing is, right? Goes in like a
lion, leaves like a lamb.
Although sometimes it's the opposite. It goes in like a lamb and leaves a lion because it's just wacky weather around here. But everybody has to keep on keeping on and be careful. Kind of a PSA, do not confront a snapping turtle. Danger can only come from it.
Absolutely.
Don't pick it up.
Folks, thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. On behalf of me and Cal Panic, we just want to wish you guys all sweet dreams. To my mom, I just want to say goodnight to you and Dad, wherever you are in the universe. I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing having the sweetest dreams of them all. And everybody else, remember the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.